Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Applause Radio Show. I'm Joanne Barton, and tonight we've got a great show. We really do, and I just want to say before we go on, the calendar's nowhere near me as usual. Sorry about that. Always. It was a pleasure having Erin on last week, Erin McDermott. Make sure you go check out her website and look up her her site for her series, The Hage Deception, and what an amazing kid. My goodness. But hope everybody's well. Today's the last day of September. I can't believe another year is going to be flying by. I just can't believe it. That it's going to be a new year in a couple of months. My goodness. But anyway, we've got a great show tonight. I'm excited. It's somebody I know personally from the town where I grew up, from Harrison, New Jersey. He was a police officer. He was one of the best looking, him and Franny, I'll talk to him about that. Him and Franny were the best looking police officers on this police force, but he's from Harrison, New Jersey. I know him well. He is a former police officer turned actor, and he's got some big parts. He's not just walking into these little rinky-dink movies. He's into major roles. So joining us tonight is Officer Charles Trussello from Harrison, New Jersey. Charlie, how are you?
I'm very well. Thank you, Joanne.
Good. Well, I'm so glad you came on tonight, and I'm excited for you because tomorrow is the premiere of The Many Saints of Newark. And for those who don't know, that is the prequel, I believe it is, to The Sopranos, yeah?
Yes, that's correct. It is the prequel.
They're calling it a prequel, right? I know it's the Sopranos. I just don't know if that's what they're calling it, the prequel.
Yeah, it is being called a prequel because it occurred prior to all the scenes and episodes from the five seasons of The Sopranos. So everyone's
nice.
Going to look a little different.
Right.
A little
right.
Younger.
So now, are you going to the premiere or what? You going?
Well, they had the premiere. No, I wasn't at the premiere. But I am very excited
tomorrow's
about this.
The release.
Because,
tomorrow's
the release.
They already
release.
Did the premiere. Pardon me.
Yes. And I'm very excited for it. I worked on a very key scene. I had the relationship kind of with Tony and Christopher, but we'll all see it together tomorrow.
Very cool. Where can I see it, Charles? Do I have to go to the movies to see it, or is it online or TV?
It's going to be out in the movies. That's where I'm going to see it with a packed crowd. And then it's also going to be playing on HBO Max.
I thought I saw something about TV. Yeah.
Yeah.
That maybe I could catch it there.
Yeah, HBO Max it'll be on. I don't know what hours. I'm sure they're going to keep running it over and over again. But,
right.
Yeah, I'm going to go see it in the movie theater myself with my wife.
Very nice. So for those who don't know Charlie, I know him as a police officer. I don't believe we're that much far out in age, but you always seemed older to me because I guess I was younger. I mean, I don't know. It's so weird that I seem like at the time when you were on the force, the Harrison Police Force, I felt like I was so much younger, but I think we're fairly close in age. But, you know, and I was saying earlier, you and Franny were the best looking cops on that police force. You know who I mean, Franny Salvine.
Franny's my cousin. He has since passed on, but he has He had a very dynamic personality and a great relationship with everybody. And yes, he was I'm not ashamed to say he was a good looking man and a fine police officer too.
Mm-hmm. Yep. The good old days in Harrison, my goodness. But
yes.
So tell everybody, did you ever have any interest in acting? Was this a fluke? What happened? How did you get into this?
You know, Joanne, I'm very, very lucky. And, you know, I often reminisce in high school. I wasn't even in the drama club. But, so when this came along, it happened by circumstance. I think I mentioned to you that The Sopranos back in 2000, they had two seasons gone
that.
By.
And, yep.
And they were white hot. For whatever reason, they decided to have an open casting call. And that casting call was in Harrison, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, it got out on public radio with Howard Stern and everything. But we had in that
town, with a madhouse.
You know,
it was a madhouse, I remember.
One square mile town had an additional 15,000 Soprano wannabes in it.
Yeah,
by 10
and they came
the
from all over, though. They didn't just come from Harrison. I remember, I don't remember where I was exactly. I was nowhere near it, but the town was so bogged down. I was like, what the hell is going on today? And then somebody said, oh, the Sopranos are auditioning. I said, okay. Yep. I remember that.
People were actually calling the police station for directions, and they were coming from, like, Kansas, in Indiana, and they wanted to know how to get to Harrison, New Jersey. I mean, it was really a happening back then. So, people camped out overnight in town by the school.
I know.
It was crazy.
Yep. It was nuts. And you were an officer at the time, though. You were working
Actually, I was, because we had to put a detail out for the event, for crowd control and everything. And it was scheduled to start at 10 a.m. Now, the lines were throughout the whole town. And this minute it opened up, I think at 10:15, I had to approach the producers and tell them we got to shut this down because the town didn't have the facilities for all these people.
Right.
And stores were being overrun, you know, with people for drink or for bathroom facilities. So it really was a terrible situation. And as I mentioned to you before, the dilemma was if we call it off after all these people came, there could have been some really violent situations if people don't get a chance to do anything. So the woman I met was the producer, Irene Landris. And she had an idea that maybe we could put boxes out of receptacles and everybody could put their headshot or their resume into the box. And we would, by virtue of bullhorns or whatever, tell people that because of the crowd, they can rest assured that they'll go through everybody's resume. So the funny part about that is I happened to mention her. I said, gee, my wife said I should put my headshot in. So she laughed, and we continued to work through the situation. But she ends up taking me inside, and she introduces me to a Miss Georgina Walken, who happens to be the actor Christopher Walken's wife. She's the casting
agent. Wow.
Yeah, so she takes a picture and blah, blah, blah. And the next thing I come out, and a lot of people were saying, hey, Charlie's got a part. So I don't know where to go with this. I just know that I gave my information and everything. I think there was, you know, TV crews there and everything. I was interviewed by Channel 2. But the real story is I had to go back to Silver Cup Studios 3 more times to audition for different roles. It wasn't until they sent me for the role that I actually appear in that I got into The Sopranos and as a principal. And as a principal, that's someone who has actual talking lines.
Right.
As a background actor. So it was very exciting, very, very exciting.
And that was your first taste of it, and then you fell in love with it.
Well, you know, it was hard not to because for a while there, because the show was so so exciting, I was like white hot. I mean, it was crazy because I'd be doing my normal police stuff and people would come through town and go, hey, you're that guy. You know, like really like excited. And I'm saying, well, I can't believe this. And back then I got interviewed on News 12 New Jersey, the Pat Dawson show. I was in New Jersey Monthly. I mean, it was really a lot of attention. So it was hard not to get caught up in it.
Right. And then, so now you've been in a few more movies since then. We were talking, which I already knew about. I mean, my sister had mentioned it to me a while back. And also when we have Regina Graves from The
Yes.
Irishman was on, she mentioned to me that you were doing a part in The Irishman. I was like, oh, no, I didn't know that, you know, at the time. So tell me how you got The Irishman.
Well, The Irishman, it was Grant Wolfe was the casting agent. They were accepting people to send in to be selected. So I sent in my headshot and my resume, and I was selected. I had to go get my costume, get fitted, and show up for the event. Now, they had probably for this scene, it was the Latin casino scene where, if anyone's seen the movie The Irishman, it's where Frank Sheeran's testimonial dinner. So there was probably about 150 background actors or more there that had to fill that room. So we all get seated like you would at like a wedding or whatever. Everybody's at a different table, and you have a partner. So on one of the breaks, we're in the lounge, you know, the room where you sit when you're not filming, and one of the actresses. Partner didn't want, there was dancing. You had to be on the floor dancing, like at a reception or whatever. And
nice.
Her partner didn't want to dance, so she came up to me. She goes, just come with me. And I said, I'm really not a good dancer. She said, don't worry about that. So I went with her, and she was pretty savvy, and we got a nice spot on the dance floor. And we danced for about 5 days. That's how intense this scene was, and I got to tell you, we filmed up in Harlem in the Alhambra Ballroom.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned Regina Graves. I know she was in charge, and she was up for an Oscar for the setting. And everything in that room was right to the T, as if you went back to the 1960s, all the way down to the programs on the table. I mean, I was like just so impressed, but it was something to do that. But
did you guys bump into each other at all during the filming of The Irishman at all?
Actually, no. At the tail end, they were calling us back because as time would go on, each day they would call certain people back, or I guess for the continuity who was in it. And then I had ultimately, through her father, found out that she was there, and we were going to meet the next day, but we didn't. The scene probably ended. They moved on to another scene. So I didn't get to actually see her on the set there. But I did see her on this other one, The Many Saints. But it was something, though. It was really, really something.
Oh, did she work on Many Saints, too?
Yes. When I showed up there, that was out in Bethpage. I had to go to the, I think it's Gold Coast Studios. It's the old Grumman warehouse. But anyway, I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, I hear, hey, Trisillo. And I'm like, who knows me? And I turn around, and it's Regina. She's working on it. So, yeah, she was out there, and I'm sure she did the same type of work on the Many Saints. And
when she was here, she may have told me. Yeah, she may have told me she was working on it, and I just don't recall. You know, she may have told me. I don't remember, but that's great. And I guess, and you did see each other on the set on that one.
On that set, we did. Yes, we did. And we talked there. It was really great.
Now, for those who don't know, well, you know, The Sopranos over here in New Jersey, specifically, I was going to say New York, but specifically New Jersey is huge. And they film a lot of their scenes in New Jersey. So now The Many Saints of Newark, is that, I know they did some scenes in Harrison in the past in The Sopranos and Carney. Do they go back to any of those areas, or is it strictly being done in Newark?
I don't know if they did any filming in Harrison and Kearney for The Many Saints. I know they filmed in Newark I don't want to give away, but anyway, the riot scenes from the late 60s that occurred in Newark, they filmed actually there. And I don't know if they filmed in Harrison. Where I went to for my scene, I had to go out to, like I said, Bethpage, Long Island, to Gold Coast Studios to do the work out there.
Mm-hmm.
But that was very, very interesting.
Cool. Now, what's your part in The Many Saints? Can you say or no?
Yeah, no. Right now, I do a lot of background. Like, I was fortunate to be a principal in The Sopranos. And generally, as a background actor, you get roles such as, you know, passerby, moviegoer, eventgoer, shopper. This one, when I went for my fitting for my costume and everything, my role is Italian family member, which to me was very significant because I was in the family. And the scene that I'm in, and I don't want to reveal it for anybody, but it's an intimate scene with the Soprano family. So I consider myself, if I could have a little bit of art, artistic liberty here, I consider myself like a cousin, Tony Soprano.
Nice. Well, I love The Sopranos, and believe it or not, when it went off cable, I got rid of my HBO because that's the only reason I watched it. HBO, I don't know. They always seem to play the same things over and over. So when that ended, I stopped watching it. But so let me ask you, have you ever been, other than the auditions that were being held in Harrison, did you ever be on any of the sets? They did a lot of it in Kearney and Newark, right? So
well, they also, truth be told, and this is another little nuance, when they first started filming that first season and no one knew about them, they were filming in Harrison. And again, in my role as a police officer, I would have to meet with the location manager. His name was Jason Minter. And he'd scope out the locations, whether it was a warehouse scene, whether it was a street scene, and we'd set up what needed to occur, you know, barriers and the security for the scene. But nobody knew about him, so nobody was paying attention. But they did a lot of filming in Harrison that first season. Yes.
Right. Well,
and,
you know, a lot of people.
Joanne, I'm going to share this with you, which was funny. At the end of this first season, Jason called me up and he said, "Hey, Lieutenant," he goes, "I have tickets for the after party. Would you or anybody else like to go in Manhattan?" I'm asking around. Nobody wanted to go. "Oh, we're not going to go, this, that, and the other thing." How stupid were we? Because the next year people were calling up, "Hey, did you get any tickets?" Because the show became really, really important. And
right.
We passed on a nice opportunity there.
Oh, you should have went. No, you should have went by yourself then.
Well,
you and your wife, you know.
We should have.
Yeah, you and your wife.
2020, nobody knows.
No, you tried to be nice to invite people. You kidding, right? So I mean, you know.
Yeah, he was a very nice person. They all were. They all were very nice, pleasant to work with.
Nice. Now, oh God, I was asking you something and I lost my train. Oh shoot.
You know, I did want to tell you a funny story how I got involved.
Yeah,
I'm a SAG member, and I'm proud to be in the union. So when we're filming in the Sopranos, when we finish the pizzeria scene, a gentleman comes up to me and he goes, "I got to take your picture." And remember, back then in 2000, there were no cell phones. So
right.
He takes out a Polaroid, the type of camera that spits out the picture and comes out the picture. So I say to him, I said, "What's this all about? What's the picture for?" And he says to me, he goes, "You get one cameo." I said, "Could you explain that to me?" He said, "You're allowed to be in it once." He goes, "If they call you back to be in it a second time," he goes, "you have to join the union." So me being a police officer, I said, "Wait a minute, I'm a union guy." I said, "I want to join." So he gave me the information, and because I had a speaking role, I was eligible to join the SAG union back in 2000.
Yeah.
So it was very exciting. That's how I got into the union.
Cool. Now, so what are you doing now? Are you looking for more roles? Do you have an agent that gets you the roles? How do you find your roles?
I don't have an agent. What I do is I'm affiliated with Central Casting, and everything's done almost by text today. So you'll get texts, "Are you available to work this date? You know, they'll give you the role and whatever. And if I'm available, I'll say, "Yes, I'm available." Now in today's world with COVID, you have to show up. You have to test for COVID the day or two before. And then you go back and work on the set. It's very exciting. I've worked on many projects, TV and movie. And it's really a nice atmosphere, and I enjoy doing it. I do have to maybe at some point maybe try to get an agent or something to help push me along, because I do want to go on some more auditions to actually get a speaking role. And
well, I was going to ask you that. How serious are you? Do you really want to do this?
I really want to push for it. What my intention was, go for acting lessons. So I have a base. Mm-hmm. So I'm speaking the lingo. I kind of understand what needs to be done, and I have a base to go from. But I think with this COVID, it dried up a lot of acting classes. They do it online now, you know, via Zoom and things like that. But now that hopefully things are getting a little bit better, I'm going to pursue that a little bit harder to do that, because that is my goal ultimately, to not just be a background actor, but to get another speaking role in a movie or in a TV show. I'd be very much excited to do that. I want to do that.
Yeah. What would be like your dream role that you would like to play?
Well, kind of the movies that I'm in now, I enjoy. I mean, because it blends that, it has the ethnicity with the Italian, but it also blends that police, you know, kind of bad guy drama in it. And that works for me. I think I fit with that. But, I don't know. There's a lot of creative people in this industry that I'm noticing. And I don't really know what role I would be good for. Someone else who has that creativity may see me in a role that I never thought of. I may be limiting myself, typecasting myself, and they may see me in something completely different. So I'm not really open to anything. I just hope somebody could take this block of clay and maybe mold it into something a little bit more shiny.
Mm-hmm. Now, you still in Harrison or no?
No. I live in Monmouth County now, but I spend a lot of time in Harrison. I have family in Harrison and Kearney.
Right.
And I also still do part-time work with the Harrison Police Department. So I'm around Harrison quite a bit, which you know is changing quite a bit with the development on the south side of town.
Yeah.
So it's all interesting. Everything's very exciting in life now.
Yeah. Well, listen, we've got a caller. Would you like to speak to a caller?
Sure.
Hang on, let's see who we got calling in. Let's see. Hang on. Hi, welcome to Applause Radio Show. You're on with Charlie Trussillo. How are you? What's your name?
Hi, Charlie Trussillo. This is Patty calling from Arizona. You're number one fan.
I thought it was your number. I wasn't sure.
Hi, Patty. How are you?
I'm great. I'm going to see your movie on Saturday. And I'm going to try to sneak my camera and take a picture when you come on the screen.
Oh, God. She's going to get arrested.
Don't get thrown out of the movie.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
She's going to get arrested.
No.
Have you seen the other movies,
be...
Pat? Have you seen the other movies? I haven't seen any of them.
Oh, no. Charlie knows I follow his career. I'm his number one fan.
There you go. There you go. Thank you,
so
Patty. I appreciate that. You know, I want to tell you, though, I haven't seen the movie. I've had other people tell me that I'm in it, you know. So where I was in the scene, if they didn't cut me out, I'm in a pretty significant spot. But we'll see how it goes. I'll see it myself tomorrow, so I'll know. But I'm just happy that I was able to work on it. I'm pretty proud of that. That I worked on the original Soprano, and now here I am working on the prequel.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know. I saw, I don't know who it was that saw the premiere, and they did snap a picture of you. So you look good in your makeup and everything. It looked so good.
Yeah, they do a fabulous job. I had to go to Kaufman Studios, that's up in Astoria, to pick up my wardrobe for that. Or get fitted for that, and they bring the wardrobe to the set. It was really, it's very nice, you know, very, very nice.
Well, I didn't hear the beginning of the show, you know, with the time difference. So do you play a brother or a cousin, or are you just like?
I'm listed as an Italian family member. So when they say family member, I'd like to think I'm a cousin. It's a family scene, everybody there, so we're all cousins in the room, or friends, but I like to consider myself, it says family member, so I'm a cousin.
Now, aren't you all related anyway?
Yeah, that's, we're all related by blood.
Oh my goodness.
I'm gonna have my camera ready, and I can't wait to see it. I'm so excited for you. So
yeah, but
I don't know
when he's gonna pop up. How are you gonna catch it?
I'm gonna have my camera ready. If I have to see it twice, I'll see it twice. So this way, I'll know when he's coming.
There you go. It's a very good scene. Having watched it, it's a very, very good scene. You'll get a chuckle in there, and you'll also pick up, like I said before, on the relationship between. It starts very early between Tony and Christopher.
Yeah.
Did you get to meet Michael Gandolfini or no?
No, the only person I really had any interaction with, I was standing with her, but generally the rule of a background actor, you're not supposed to interact with them at all. But it was quite a long day. So as the one fellow who plays Dickie Montalcanti is coming through the back room, I guess to use the facilities or whatnot, we're all sitting in like the holding area. So I spoke to him. I said, you know, you look just like my wife's cousin. And he said, I do. He goes, you got a camera? I said, I got my phone. He goes, come on over here. He goes, let's take a picture together. So I felt okay because he asked me, and it was very nice. And then my only other interaction with a prominent person, Tony Soprano's son, James Gandolfini's son, was very personal. He made a point to come over and say hello to everybody who was working, all the background people, which I thought was very, very nice of him and made everybody feel good. And then when I was talking with Regina, Graves, I told her, I said, you know what, I felt compelled to go up to David Chase and thank him for the opportunity 20 years ago, because he gave me a great opportunity. Here I am later in life, 20 years later, and acting and doing background work. So I felt compelled to say thanks to him. But it was really nice. Really, really nice.
That's great. That's great. So now when you go to Harrison, yeah, you hand out your headshots with your signature or what? You always sign an autograph?
Yeah, no. There's no autographs this time around. But I think people are curious. And I got to be honest, I'm happy to tell the story because I'm experiencing something when I go over there that other people don't experience. And I'm happy to tell some of these stories. And you're helping me, too, tell the stories because it's like human interest is what. And it's exciting. Most people want to hear this, and I like telling it. So it kind of works for me. And it works for them. But sometimes I got to guard myself. I don't want to come across like I'm being boastful. I'm just telling the story the way it happened. So it works, though.
I think we all love hearing it.
I got very, very lucky. What's that?
We all love hearing it. We all love it.
It's just too good of a story. And again, I got very lucky. Very fortunate, and I know that, but I'm trying to write it out as best I can, and we'll see what happens. Charles,
all that matters is that you're having a good time doing it.
I am enjoying it. I'm meeting a lot of nice people on all these different sets, and I do want to tell you this: background actors, even though we don't have speaking roles or we do, a lot of people, including myself, take a lot of pride in what we do. And
well, that's how you get started.
We have to bring our own wardrobe and things like that. And a lot of them, they're really, really professional the way they handle themselves. I'm learning from them.
Oh, let me ask you this. In any of your scenes that you've done throughout all the movies you've done, have you ever had to do a part in the background where you have to pretend that you're speaking?
Well, yes.
So what do you pretend you're saying? What do you pretend you're saying when you're whispering in there or just moving your lips, pretending you're speaking? What are you saying?
Well, that's a very good question. I'm going to give you the answer to that. You're moving your lips, basically. You're having a conversation because of all the acoustics in the room, they don't actually want you talking because there's a lot of heavy-duty equipment that they use that'll pick
right.
up the voice. Sometimes people think in the background that they're so far away from the action, and I've been on sets where directors will cut and tell people, remind them, you can't talk because the sound equipment is so sensitive that it'll pick it up. So you are asked to talk. You are asked to, you know, make like you're having a good time if you're standing at the bar having a drink or whatever, talking to somebody. But you really can't articulate it because it'll get picked up. So it's a double-edged sword. You have to look like you're talking, but you can't really talk.
No, it's funny. I always wondered what the people in the background, what they're pretending to say. You know, like they're doing hand gestures and the lips are moving, and, you know, it's supposed to look like they're talking, obviously, but they're not, you know.
But you know what helps? I'm going to tell you what helps is before the scene goes, either the director or one of the assistant directors, they're going to give you the backstory of what's going on. So they'll
right.
basically tell you you're the family members from this side, if you're at a wedding, whatever the case may be. So you in your mind to develop what the conversation may be and if it's like a scene with a lot of violence and a lot of activity, you have to look shocked or you have to look dismayed, whatever the case. They'll give you enough information so you as a background actor look appropriate in the scene. And that
right.
helps quite a bit. And it's also good because now you know what your role is. Even though you're not talking, you're still playing a role for the camera.
Right. What's my motivation, right?
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's exactly
right.
it.
Now I gotta
and,
ask you this.
Now that you're
getting into it so heavily and that you're loving it so much, when you watch actors or performers now, are you critical or are you like, oh, you know what I mean?
I don't know if I'm critical. I can do that. You know, I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's within the past year. The actor, I don't know, you probably remember him, Danny Aiello. He just passed away. But
yeah.
I remember when he did, there was a lot of information about his story. I believe he got into acting, he was later in life. He was like 60 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And he went on to have a fabulous career and got a lot of recognition for the work that he did. So
mm-hmm.
if I have someone who I'm going to try and use as a role model, it might be him, you know, because I'm like kind of later in life, similar to him. And
well, nice choice
because
he's a good actor. Yep, nice choice. He was a great actor.
He plays great roles.
Yeah.
So, very good.
Yeah, it's well, you know what? You're just getting started, and this is how people get to where they go. You love what you're doing, and you push for it, and anybody can do it, folks. Anybody. And you can do it later in life. You're fulfilling a dream, which is, did you ever think you'd be acting in movies? No.
No, never did.
Right.
Never did.
But you made it happen.
Yeah. And it's come to me 20 years later, which was something which was kind of like a lark because I couldn't give up my day job back then. And life moved on. But now here I am. I'm retired from the – and I have time and to do this. And let's hope it works for me.
I'm sure it is. Like you said, the more you do, the more you get familiar with it, and the more you get seen. The more you get seen and people see what you can do, and you just get better at it. And then you move on to bigger and better things. I mean, although you're already doing bigger, better things, I mean, most people who start out don't get such a huge movie, you know? So that's phenomenal that your first movies were this big. That's really great.
I've been very lucky. And
yeah.
I've also recently worked on a Ray Romano movie. There's no scheduled date for when it's going to come out, but I did quite a bit of work with that, and I'm looking forward to when that comes out to see how see if I get portrayed a little bit in that one. But
is it a movie or a sitcom?
It's really good. What? I'm sorry?
Is it a movie or a sitcom?
No, it's a movie. It's a movie. He hasn't titled it yet. It's just right now it goes under the Ray Romano Project, but
it
has a very good storyline. Very interesting storyline.
Is Ray Romano in it, or he just wrote and directed it, or he's in it as well?
No. He's in it and directing it. But
cool.
He's very good. I think Sebastian Maniscalco's in it as well.
Yeah, he's funny, Ray Romano. I like him.
Yeah, very funny. Very nice guy. And he came across that way. I worked on that for, I think it was 5-6 days up in the Astoria Manor, which is like a catering facility up in Queens. But very nice. And I think the movie's going to be great. I can't wait for it to come out.
Oh, definitely. It's going to be fabulous. I hope I get to see it. If it's on HBO Max, I don't have HBO anymore, but now with this these new fancy TVs, you can get whatever you want. Just hit it, you know, and it's there. So maybe I can get it to watch the movie. It's on tomorrow, right? What time is it on?
I don't know what time. It's going to be on HBO Max. I do not know what the schedule is on TV. But I'm going to the movie theater. I want the full effect.
Absolutely.
Sitting down with a packed house.
Yeah.
The movie
itself
is going to be awesome. I've heard it's an awesome movie. So I'm looking forward just to see it too, as well as see where I appear.
Great. Well, Charlie, thank you so much. It was great talking to you. I hope to bump into you soon. I don't get over to Harrison much anymore, unfortunately. Not for any reason, just between busy and not feeling well, that's all. But if I ever get over there, I hope to see you.
Joanne, thank you very much. I hope to see you too. And if I do see you, I'll go out of my way to say hi.
Oh, me too. You kidding me? And listen, you have fun. Enjoy yourself. Congratulations. And just keep on going, Charles. Once you start, you can't stop. So, you know, and just love it.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Well, all the best to you. It was great talking to you, everybody. Charles Trucillo, Charlie Trucillo, Lieutenant Trucillo from Harrison, New Jersey, who is also in The Many Saints of Newark, the prequel to The Sopranos, and it comes out tomorrow, October 1st. Go check it out and look for Charlie. And if you don't see him, my sister's going to take a picture and let you see it. So watch them lock her ass up. Watch. Watch them arrest her. I don't know how they are out in Arizona with that stuff, but, you know, who knows? Oh, my goodness. Charlie, thank you. Everybody, Charles Trucillo. Charlie, take care. Thank you so much. Good luck. Enjoy the movie. I hope I'm going to get to see it, too, and I'm sure it's great.
Thank you very much, Joanne. I really appreciate my time here on the show. Thank you.
No, hon, thanks. You come back anytime, okay?
I will. Thank you.
All right. Take care. Bye, Charlie.
Right. Bye-bye now.
Everybody, Charles Trucillo. Go check out the movie, The Many Saints of Newark. It comes out tomorrow, premiered already. I apologize. Some exciting news today. The Prudential Center in Newark, New Jersey. I love that place. They are so nice to me and good to me, and the facility is beautiful. It's gorgeous. It's state of the art. They had their grand opening. Well, the official grand opening is tomorrow, October 1st, and that is the Newark Grammy Museum. It's over at the Prudential Center area in Newark. Beautiful. And this little museum, I love it. I love it. I love it. It's got all New Jersey artists' memorabilia. And today, which is actually the grand opening tomorrow, I couldn't attend today. I had tickets. I couldn't go, but very disappointed with that. They opened up the new Bruce Springsteen exhibit. So how cool is that? And I wish I could have gone. And thank you so much for the invitation. I'm sorry I couldn't attend. I can't believe it. But not only with that, so go tomorrow if you want. The grand opening is, well, the grand reopening, because it's always been open. It's just because of COVID. So the grand opening is featuring the Bruce Springsteen exhibit, and you could see a lot of other things too. You know what? I don't even know if I ever, guys, told you. I know I've written about it. I don't know if I've spoken about it on the air, because it's been over a year since they've had an actual live event. So because of COVID, but if you go there, you can actually go and sing. They've got microphones set up, and they've got, I guess it's a karaoke track, and You can sing. Actually, Ray Charles, Hit the Road, Jack. You could sing it. The video's there, and it's really cool. You could play the drums there, electronic drum set, and forget about all the artifacts and everything. The things that belong to musicians. What do you call that? Collectibles? I don't know. Well, I don't want to say artifacts because not artifacts. I just don't know the word. I can't get it off my tongue. So, yeah, they got all that in there. And then when they have it, they do actual shows, too, and it's so intimate. It is so nice. And anybody can buy tickets and go, and they're not expensive. I mean, they're $10 or $20, and it's such a cute little place. And they have this little tiny stage with name artists. I mean, who did I see there? The Zombies were there. The Smithereens were there. Gloria Gaynor was there. And it's such an intimate thing. I mean, there may be 30 of us, 30 seats, maybe 40. I mean, it's so nice, so nice. Little bar, everything. And then you could go into and look at the exhibits. So how cool is that? And it's right across the river, folks, for my Harrison friends that are listening. And it's so much fun. So anyway, they had the premiere today of the Springsteen exhibit, and tomorrow is the grand opening of it, October 1st, and check it out. Go to prudentialcenter.com and look under the Grammy Museum, and you could see what's coming up, and you could see the hours of when you could go, and also there's some great concerts coming back. I'm so excited. I'm excited that I've met somebody new over there, too, who welcome aboard, and can't wait to get to know her. She's very sweet already. Wonderful people. They're always been wonderful. And I'm going to say October. What do we got? My Michael's going to kill me. My website friend, he's going to kill me. I have all the names. I'm just waiting for everybody to confirm that they're in, that they're locked in. So, but I can confirm that we have on the 2nd, which I'm going to get the information over to him if he can get that part of the website updated. We've got Pat McManus from the Pat McManus Band, all the way from Ireland. We're going to do a special broadcast Saturday, October 2nd at 11 a.m. Eastern. Since it's Ireland, it's very late there. So I'm obviously going to accommodate him. I mean, I'm not poor thing. I'm going to have him up all night to talk to me. Or nothing personal, folks, but I don't want anybody up late at night to talk to any of us. So, you know, but anyway, so that's pretty cool. Carmine's coming back. Carmine Apici. Jay Edwards is coming up. Zoe Yeoman. Marshall Thompson from the Shy Lights will be joining us. Gabrielle Stone. She's coming up. And we've got Sassy. Where is it? What is the name? Forgive me. I got them all here. I just don't have them written down. Oh, Sassy Mohan and Tim Mullen, he's a comedian and actor, and this is going to be great. This is going to be great. So we're calling it Rocktober and music. So we're doing the best that we can to get you some great music acts on the show and play you some great music, and I'm shooting for a Halloween thing. I'm trying to get somebody for Halloween, and it's been a little nuts, but I'm doing the best I can to get you guys the best guests I can. So all the guests are fabulous. I love hanging out, talking to them. So we have a good time, and that's all that matters to me, as long as we're having fun. So, and for those of you who are listening from Harrison, unfortunately, I was going to do the broadcast for the Observer, and it's just too much for me at this time, so I have to, at the moment, decline. But I'm going to be still doing some articles, which is fun for me, too. I meant to say that to Charlie earlier. Who knew at this stage in my life, I mean, that I would be doing this? I had no idea I would be doing this, and I'm just loving every minute of it. I really do love every second of it. I love giving applause to all of our guests when you're on. This is your show, not mine. This is all about you, all about you. And I love giving you the applause. You deserve it. And Charlie, we wish you the best. Keep going. Keep going. Get that headshot out. Get them out there. And nobody's been doing anything for the last year. So everything's just starting to come back. So now's your time, Charlie. Grab it by the horns. I was going to say something else, but I'm trying to be a girl. Good luck with that. Anyway, September is in the can. My goodness. What, 3 months? Three, 4 months, and it's going to be 2022? Oh, my God. Oh, I just can't believe it. I cannot believe it. I cannot believe it. But it's just time is flying. And are we having fun? They say time flies when you're having fun, you know. But no one told me when the fun began. Oh, I know that song. Where do I know that from? Weekend, right? Anyway, all right. Thank you so much, Charlie. Have a good night. I appreciate you coming on tonight for this special broadcast. And good luck again with the movie. I'm sure it's going to be great. I can't wait to check it out. And, you know, we had some really great stuff on in September. So if you get a chance, go back and listen. We had a really nice time. Every show. And don't forget, we gave Judy Tenuta. I love Judy. We've become such good friends, and I'm so happy for that because she's really a beautiful person, and she's amazing. She's kicking cancer's ass, man. I'm telling you, she is kicking cancer's ass. She had some rough days, but she did really fabulous. She's got a lot to be proud of, and she truly thanks you all. And without your support, and I just love her to death. I love her to death. And we have a great friendship, and I'm so happy about that. So anyway, I guess what I feel like. I feel like heaven and hell. All right. Charlie Trucillo, good luck. Take care, everybody. Thank you for listening. We will see you on October 2nd with Pat McCann. Is it Pat McCann, folks? I'm not ready. I just did all this earlier. Yep. Pat McCann, October 2nd, 11 a.m. special broadcast. Take care. Bye-bye. Have a great weekend. We'll catch you. Oh, no. I keep thinking today's Friday. Anyway, have a great weekend. Take care. It's Thursday, Friday Eve. So enjoy your weekend. Take care. Rocktober's coming at you.